Unfiltered, unscripted, and uncut.
If I were to have a kid down the line, I would totally train my kid. Like,
I'd be the worst parent, and I'm admitting it. I'd be terrible. I'd want my kid to be the best player.
So hard, you know?
Yeah.
TK and Weiner on Homestand Sports.
All right, day one on the new gig, Hoop Talks with TK and Weiner. How are you feeling about it, Josh?
I'm so excited. You know I love basketball, so whenever we can have a chance to talk about the Raptors, especially in the regular season too, it's going to be a fun time because they're actually doing well for once. Well, actually, no, they've been a good team for a while. It's just now it's like they're kind of entering that contender conversation, so it's a great time to be talking Raptors, that's for sure.
Yeah, I know you're definitely excited for it.
Very.
You were supposed to show up yesterday for a podcast on the Blue Jays and their arbitration cases, but you took a personal day.
I guess if you call it that, but I am sick still. I'm sure the listeners can hear it a little bit, but I'm powering through.
Yeah, you're
That's
sick.
What you got to do.
You're sick, but you also went out last night.
I honestly, when I was stuffed up one time, like last year, year before, pretty stuffed up for a couple days. I had 3 beers, and somehow I was cured the next day. Maybe it was just like the timing worked out, but I have a weird theory that a beer or two will help sickness. Call me crazy, but there's probably no scientific proof to back it up, but it's my theory.
Do you think the Cavaliers had that theory the night before they played the Raptors? Because I'm pretty sure they were out with Drake when he opened his new restaurant the night before.
They must have been. I mean, they were here for a couple of days beforehand. I mean,
and LeBron was at the Eaton Center.
And this is also a pretty fun city, Toronto, to go have a good time, especially when you aren't here all the time and just visiting. So they, I mean, it was an impressive performance for the Raptors for sure, but definitely could have been hung over a few of the Cavs players, that's for sure.
So big win for the Raptors. They win 133-99 over the Cleveland Cavaliers. This has been a weekend that you've looked forward to if you're a Raptors fan for a considerable amount of time, obviously playing Cleveland on Thursday and then going on to play the Golden State Warriors tonight. But the win was pretty big. It was, you know, an American televised game on TNT.
Raptors getting that love.
Yeah, for once. I honestly think nobody south of the border cares about the Raptors. I don't even think the NBA cares that much.
No, it's what drives ratings. And at the end of the day, the Canadian viewers can't drive the ratings enough to justify that team ever making it far in the playoffs. The NBA wouldn't be happy if the Raptors made the finals. Let's just say that.
No.
Not
that's
at
the
all.
Last thing they want.
They'd rather a Cleveland Golden State round 4, for God's sake.
And if you don't think by the end of the third quarter, when Cleveland was just getting destroyed, they lost a massive amount of viewers.
Oh, with the, well, I mean, that happens in any blow, but definitely when Toronto's the other team.
When Toronto's playing, I
definitely
think.
Definitely contributes.
Yeah, and you know, it was a big win. Fred VanVleet had a career night, dropped 22 points. That was a career high for him. And they, you know what? They won by 34 points.
And what I was most impressed with was how much of a team effort it was. I mean, DeMar DeRozan's been really pacing them and scoring. He had just 13 points. And then you see guys like Jakob Poeltl, 12-12, 3 blocks. Fred VanVleet, like you mentioned, 8-11 from the field. Siakam, 16-8. Like, there was just so many guys that were really putting their all into this game. It was a complete team effort, which is what you need. And that's really what this Raptors team's been all about this season. Sharing the rock, just trying to find good shots for their teammates, and it's been working so far.
And stepping up to fill voids. We know that Kyle Lowry was out with a tailbone injury. He's questionable tonight against the Golden State Warriors. Ibaka was still suspended.
The suspension, right.
And he wasn't playing.
Yep.
And they still came up. They played a great game defensively. They shut down LeBron. I mean, he had 26 points, but that's basically what average for LeBron.
Yeah, he had one assist, though. That's unheard
of for
LeBron.
And only 3 rebounds.
Yeah.
I think that was massive, too. Just 3 rebounds.
No, I know. And that's the thing. With LeBron James, he's always going to get his, but you can only hope to contain him. And I think the Raptors did a pretty good job of that. And not only, I mean, LeBron had 26, but if you think about it, guys like Kevin Love, 10 points. Isaiah Thomas was awful. He was 2 of 15 from the field.
But I thought he was going to get the night off anyway. That was the rumor going in. He was going to sit out against the Raptors just for some rest, and then he ended up playing anyway.
Yeah.
So
you never know with Cleveland.
Right, but I think when that happens, I think your expectation of that player, I don't think it should go down. It's still Isaiah Thomas, but he was supposed to rest that game.
Yeah.
And ended up playing.
Especially after coming back from that serious hip injury, it's going to take some time to get back to the IT of old, if ever. I mean, because this is a totally different environment for him, and he still has to learn how to play next to LeBron, and it's going to take some time at the end of the day.
And as good as the Cavs have been throughout the years, the big story for Cleveland has been they might not be the top defensive team, but they'll just outshoot you.
It doesn't matter.
And they'll have way more firepower and just beat you no matter what. But they went into that game with the 29th ranked defense in the league, and it showed.
Yeah, oh, for sure. And it, honestly, with Cleveland, they don't care about the regular season. They'll give up 120 points every night as long as they make the playoffs and have some sort of home court advantage, because that's when they just turn it up. We saw it last year. They went 12-0 to start the playoffs, but eventually it does catch up to you, especially against a team like Golden State, as we've seen in the finals. They just can't stop them from scoring, and no matter how good an offense you have, if you can't stop a team from scoring on the other end, it's impossible to win. I mean, yes, they have LeBron James, Kevin Love, Isaiah Thomas now. They have plenty of scoring, but against a team like Golden State that not only has the offense but can defend at a high level, is one of like a top five defense in the league, you can't beat that team.
No, Golden State's definitely historical in the squad they put together. But talking about the Cavaliers, talking about how they would coast through certain parts of the regular season, they just lost. That loss to Toronto was their sixth loss in their last nine games.
Yeah,
it's just rounding back to what we were saying earlier, where they don't care nearly as much about that loss as the Raptors cared about that win. That win for Raptors Nation, we the North Nation,
statement,
was huge. It's a statement game. Oh my God, the Raptors just beat the Cavaliers on TNT prime time. It's the big. The Cavs don't care at all.
They don't.
The whole LeBron, where he's freaking out in the sidelines, and you think, oh well,
you know, he's the coach, so. I mean,
right? He's just trying to make a statement. He was off the court before the clock even counted down in the fourth quarter. He was already going back to the dressing room.
Look,
at the end of the day, this is what they do every single year. They coast through the regular season. They just remember last year was at Memphis. They went on the road trip and they sat out. Mm-hmm. Love, LeBron, Irving, they all just stayed in Cleveland and they went on a road trip. They coast through the regular season. They don't really, for the most part, care about where they are seed-wise in the conference, as long as they're in the playoffs, which they always are, and then they'll just go on a tear.
Yeah.
Where when you look at Toronto, all they have to build on is the regular season success, because that's all they've had so far in the past. Because obviously they went to Game 6 2 years ago against Cleveland. Last year they got swept. They haven't had any real push for a title,
no,
really at all.
No.
So when you look at what they've done so far this season, 29-11 after that win. This is their best 40-game start to the season in franchise history. 29 wins through 40 games. They're now at the halfway mark of the season, playing their 41st tonight. This is the kind of thing they look forward to, because that's been their bread and butter, right?
If you're going to the postseason and you've had so many struggles in the postseason, I mean, the only thing you can do is hope to build that momentum against these teams that you're ultimately going to face come playoff time. In the regular season. And at the end of the day, you're right. Cleveland, they don't care. It's so funny how everybody doubts them. They always have this same talk every single season. Like, midway through the season, towards the end, say, oh, the Cavs defense, it's atrocious. And it is. But at the end of the day, this is a team that's proven time and time again that they have a switch. And that all starts with LeBron James. He ups his level of play to astronomical levels come the playoffs. And it's incredible. He's 33. In his 15th season, he's having arguably the best season of his career. And we've seen time and time again that they just coast, and then they just turn it on. It's ridiculous.
Which is what makes me question Toronto's ability to push in the playoffs, because they, as good as DeMar DeRozan is,
this is as high as they can go, I think.
I don't think he's a guy that can take a stranglehold of a game and at some point even a stranglehold of a series. And I think in basketball, you need that. You need that difference maker, and you need that elite player to do that. And I think DeMar DeRozan is out of that list of upper echelon guys.
I would say the question that has to be raised there is Cleveland, Golden State, those teams can take it to another level. Can this Raptors team, from what you've seen, actually do that? And honestly, the jury's still out, because they are moving the ball the way that you have to do it in the playoffs. But at the same time, can they do that any better in the playoffs? I guess it just comes down to making more of your shots. But at the end of the day, it seems like this is going to be how they're playing in the postseason, and whether that's enough remains to be seen.
I think you need an MVP caliber player. And like, do you consider DeMar DeRozan an MVP caliber player? Because I don't. I don't picture
him. It's tough.
I think that's been a big topic of discussion the last couple of years with DeMar.
You could argue, though, just think about it this way. If DeMar DeRozan is off that team and you replace him with an average shooting guard, is that team anywhere close to where they are right now? I'd say no. So if you weigh him,
but that doesn't help his MVP race.
I'd say it does though. No. If you take him off this team, this Raptors team,
because how many
loses at least 10 wins?
Josh, how many Cavaliers teams have there been through the years where if they didn't have LeBron James, they wouldn't have
exactly.
even, they wouldn't have even made the
and
playoffs.
And that's why you could make but the case for him as MVP every season.
He should win MVP every season. If that's the way if that's the way that the voting worked and the award worked, he should win it. But that's not how it works. Because LeBron should win MVP almost every year.
In terms of DeMar, though, his offensive prowess has been incredible this season. He showed new facets of his game from the three-point line and distributing. He's averaging 5 assists a game. So from that end of things, yes, he's still in the conversation, but to say that he's ahead of a Durant or a Curry, I don't think he'll win it by any means. I could see him finishing within the top 6 for sure. He's ranked 5th on the NBA MVP NBA MVP ladder on NBA.com right now. So
you're saying he retooled his game and is better at the three-point line. He's still outside the top 50 in three-pointers made this year.
Well, of course. You can't expect that much transformation in one season, but he's showing signs.
He's 9th in points and 26th in assists.
Recently, though, he's showing signs an improvement in both of those areas, right?
But look at the other guys.
That's what I mean.
Look
that's
at, like,
I mean.
James Harden. And
that's why I said
like,
he's not going to be ahead of a Harden or a Curry or Durant, but he'll be a top 5 or 6 guy, I could argue.
Even if he was in that same category, he's playing for the absolute worst city if you want to win an MVP. Toronto is the worst place to be if you want the spotlight.
Yeah, who the hell's
going
to vote for Raptors?
No one cares about the Raptors. No one in the world.
Outside of Canada, anyways.
Outside of Canada. Yeah. And at this point, what matters more than the U.S.? That's what matters.
Yep. I mean,
no one cares about the Raptors south of the border.
No. But to be fair, though, TNT and ESPN have been showing a little bit of coverage about the Raptors. I mean, you have to when they're 29-11 through 40 games.
That was
games.
Their first game. In 40 games this season.
I mean, but even not national broadcast aside, like they mentioned them on The Jump, they mentioned them on podcasts, like certain shows and stuff like that. DeMar was just on the Woj pod. So like they're getting a little bit more attention as their success grows. But at the same time, you're right. They're obviously still not respected.
But if there,
if there was an opportunity
where Boston could go to the final to play Houston, or let's just keep it the way it has been for years. Let's say Golden State and Cleveland.
It's going to be Golden State.
Right? Why would it even mess with hypotheticals like Boston and Houston? If it's Golden and Cleveland, and then out of nowhere...
Golden and Cleveland.
You know what I'm saying? Golden State and Cleveland, and out of nowhere, Toronto knocks out Cleveland. See, I think at that point, it might... No. There's no way. 100%, the majority, way more than the majority, would rather see these elite teams. I think that there might be a bit of a wild card factor here, a Cinderella story, where if Toronto does beat Cleveland and goes to the final and ever pushed it deep in a series, which I don't think could ever happen anyway, that's where you might reel in a little more of a fan base because it's a Cinderella story, a team that's never in the spotlight that no one cares about. Or maybe this is just me living in Toronto and thinking that that's how Canada would see the story.
But really,
south of the border, it's all, oh my God, I can't believe we don't have Cleveland Golden State this year.
Well, I don't know. It depends where you're coming from. I mean, you've seen Golden State, Cleveland 3 straight years. Do you really want it for a fourth? I guess if you consider those two teams the best from each conference, then sure. But at the same time, if you want something fresh, and I know it's the Toronto Raptors, they're from Canada, ratings would probably go down a little bit, but in terms of compelling basketball storylines,
it could
be a little bit more interesting.
You definitely want LeBron in the finals,
because then he's going for another title, and his greatest of all time debate with Jordan, and that whole thing reemerges. If he wins another title, that's just what happens with LeBron. And he's already, every time he makes another finals, it's just more history, you know? This guy is incredible. We're watching a generational talent, the best of our generation, and every time he accomplishes something else, it's just more evidence to just bolster his case as the greatest, you know?
He's destroyed parity in the Eastern Conference. And whatever team he plays for wins.
Yeah, awesome.
And goes to the final, basically.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he goes to Cleveland, like, makes the finals his first year there.
Last season was so boring and so terrible because I sat around watching Golden State and Cleveland, and I was just waiting for them to go to the final. And then what happened in the final was, the, in my opinion, the worst case scenario for the NBA.
What, Golden State just steamrolls?
Golden State went in perfect. Golden State went in with a perfect record. They both could have. Cleveland, what, lost one game?
They were 12, no, I think they were both 12-0 to start the postseason. Cleveland might have lost one game, but I'm pretty sure they
were 12-0. Golden State was perfect in the postseason going in to
play
Cleveland.
They were 12-0.
Cleveland wasn't. Yeah, Cleveland wasn't. They lost.
They maybe lost one game.
I think they lost one game. So when you went into the final, Golden State and Cleveland, all the fans were hoping to God, oh my God, this should go to game seven and be the craziest series ever.
Hell no.
They definitely wanted that.
No, they wanted that, but it did not happen.
Because the entire regular season, there was no excitement and no parity. You were just waiting for it to happen. It was inevitable. You knew it was going to happen. It was going to be Golden State and Cleveland. So then Golden State goes up 3-0 in the series, and you're like, oh, great, a whole season of watching basketball waiting for this to happen. They're up 3-0. Well, I guess if this is going to happen, we might as well see Golden State complete the perfect postseason. And then Cleveland won game four. So that ruined that, too.
I know.
So that series, that going to five games, that was the worst case scenario for the NBA.
Yeah.
It didn't go a full seven games, and then at the end of the day, neither team walked out with a perfect postseason.
Yeah.
So it was just...
At the end of the day, no, I know. It was so predictable last season. This season, like, obviously a lot of people will probably pen Cleveland Golden State again, but at least there's a little bit more uncertainty. I mean, there are some contenders, like Boston, their defense is incredible, and this is a team that has the pieces to definitely, like... They have all the switchability on defense, and they really have the star power, quite frankly. Kyrie Irving's become the true number one option and a leader on that team. So whether that continues into the postseason, we'll see. And then you have the Raptors, Houston. They have Chris Paul and Harden, who together have just been playing exceptionally. So they could definitely give the Warriors a run for their money. But at the end of the day, it's just when you have two dominant teams like that, it's almost like a foregone conclusion. There's always just those teams to try to like spice things up, but you, at the end of the day, in the back of your head, you know what's going to end up happening.
I think health could play a huge factor going into this postseason.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, you're seeing what's going on with Curry. His ankle's obviously bugging him. And he missed a considerable amount of time, and now he's out again.
Yeah, and that was a huge issue earlier on in his career, and it seemed to just fix itself for the past few seasons, and now we see he re-aggravates that ankle again, so who knows?
For San Antonio, you saw last postseason just how badly the Kawhi Leonard injury destroyed them. They looked like they had a real chance of knocking out Golden State, and then finally that just fluke
and now
injury.
He has a shoulder issue that's bugging him too, so it's just one thing after the other, and if they don't have him, they don't have a chance in the postseason. I can just tell you that right now. They have a tough time as it is without him. I mean, LaMarcus Aldridge is capable as a number one option, but you need Kawhi. He's such a good two-way player. People were saying that he was arguably the best, if not the best, last season. So to not be with that guy and have him in and out of the lineup, resting and just nursing injuries, that you can't win without him.
I think he can definitely be an MVP caliber talent.
I mean, not this season because he's missed so much time.
He can be.
He's
young.
He was last season. He should have finished. I think he finished third in voting.
And back to the East, they're only seventh right now in the conference, but I'm a big Milwaukee fan. I love Giannis Antetokounmpo. I think he can be a guy. We were talking about players that can take a stranglehold of a game and be the reason a team wins, and then eventually being that blue chip cornerstone talent who can take a stranglehold of a series. Like, when you think about when Cleveland beat Golden State in that one final, when they were down 3-1, and then LeBron basically just took a stranglehold of that series and was the reason the Cavs came back. I think Giannis could be that guy for Milwaukee.
Well, I don't know. I mean, Giannis, you saw that first round series against Toronto last season, and he would just take over games. He was unstoppable.
And he's so young
there. The only thing he needs is a shot, and then he'll be truly unstoppable.
I know, but dude, how old is he?
He's so young. He's, what, 22, 23?
When the Raptors beat the Bucks last year, I thought to myself,
he's the future.
If I were a Milwaukee fan, I'd be feeling better than a Raps fan looking at my team.
Yeah.
I think the Raptors fans, even though they beat Milwaukee last year, should be very jealous of where the Bucks are right now and where they're going to be. Because as good as DeMar DeRozan is and as good as Kyle Lowry is, neither of them are Greek freaks.
Well, the thing with the Bucks, though, they are really underperforming this season. They had high expectations. I even picked them to potentially finish ahead of the Raptors in the standings.
I did too. I 100%
did too.
Exactly,
and it's because the Raptors, they had so much roster turnover in the offseason. They were relying on their young guys and then obviously bringing back the same core. And it remained to be seen whether they could really execute this new-look offense, which, as we've seen through 40 games, they're able to. But at the end of the day, Giannis, he just showed himself as a superstar in the playoffs, and you were thinking, okay, that'll continue into this season. But at the end of the day, there's a lot of Bucks fans that are calling for Jason Kidd's head right now because they think he is being just coaching that team horribly, not utilizing Giannis the right way and the pieces around him. They've definitely underperformed, and I expected a lot more from them. Whether they can turn it around, especially come postseason time, we'll see. But yeah, it's scary when you have a guy like Giannis on your team.
Well, because at the end of the day, the only thing that matters is how it translates in the postseason, in the playoffs.
Yeah.
That's been our conversation with the Raptors. And I've been calling the Raptors this for years now. They're basically the Titanic. It's a great movie.
So harsh.
It's a great movie, but we all know how it's going to end.
This the season, Raptors it's have a little great, different, though.
The Raptors, no, it's not. You don't know what it is yet because we haven't gotten to the playoffs yet. So you have no idea.
But it's not a foregone conclusion that they're going to say.
All I'm saying, great movie, but you know how it's going to end. The Raptors have great regular seasons. They just won 29 games of their first 40.
I know.
But their bench being so great, is that going to translate into a lot of success in the playoffs?
Well, that's the thing.
DeMar DeRozan, and you know, you talk about DeMar DeRozan being an upper echelon guy in the league. That means you have to step up when they need you in high pressure, big games. They just played on TNT primetime against the Cavaliers, and yeah, they won, but DeRozan was not the reason they won.
But they didn't need him to score the way he normally does. But at the end of the day, yeah, he did have a bit of a slow game offensively. But
And they're coming back with the same core as they were last year. So if it didn't work in the playoffs last year and you get swept by Cleveland, you're going in with the same team this season.
I know,
I get it. You're getting rid of the iso ball. You want to shoot more three-pointers.
That's a huge component, though.
I get it.
It's a huge component. It makes them way harder to guard. But at the end of the day, the question has to be asked, is this team going to resort back to that when times get tough? We can only wait till the postseason to see. And then at the end of the day, when you have a guy like DeMar and Kyle, who are pretty known for their struggles in the postseason, there's no secret. Both of those guys are not primetime players in the postseason, and that's really hurt their reputation. And we'll see if they can change that, especially with the team-oriented ball movement basketball. So we'll see.
But Josh, at what point does personnel start to feel like they're on the hot seat where changes actually have to be made? Because you did come in with the same personnel. You came with the same coach. I know Dwayne Casey and Masai Ujiri are
buddies.
He's
been excellent.
I get it. Well, last year, there was a major... They dropped off defensively. They just gave up on what Casey was preaching on defense. How many times post game was he talking about that? He goes, "We weren't all in defensively."
Well, he's a defensive minded guy.
But
look at them this season.
He lost the locker room last year, late in the season. He definitely did. Every single game during the post game, we weren't all in defensively. We got to pay more attention. Be all in. We got to listen. They weren't even buying into what he was saying anymore. And then you got a guy like Kyle Lowry who came out last offseason saying, "Yeah, I was a free agent. I definitely wanted to go to San Antonio. They just didn't want me." On the Players Tribune, he came out with that, which I couldn't believe. The balls you must have to say that after you just signed an extension with a team that you played for years and to come out and say, actually, I wanted to go to the other conference. I wanted to play for San Antonio. Mm-hmm. They just didn't want me. Not only did you just slap your team in the face, you slapped the Raptors in the face. You basically shot yourself in the foot because you just called yourself, I guess, not at the caliber that a certain team wanted you. He said he wasn't good enough, basically, for the
No, I hear you, Ty. I hear you. But look, there was definitely rumblings about potential personnel changes after their sweep last season by the Cavs. Look, and that's understandable, right? When you bring back the same core, which they ultimately decided to do, you're guaranteed to have regular season success, but we'll have to see what happens in the postseason. They're banking on those guys being able to translate their games along with the rest of the team being able to do that. And hopefully for them, it'll be a different result. So it's a 3-year window for all those guys, DeRozan, Lowry, and Ibaka. So they trotted back the same core, which was vital to them making the playoffs and being successful in the regular season in the first place. Whether they can continue that, though, and actually show their transformation in the postseason when the games actually matter most, it'll be interesting. I think Dwayne Casey, though, has done a great job this season, particularly integrating the younger guys into vital bench roles. Like, they've really performed well. He's done a great job with his rotations. I know earlier in the season there was like 11, 12 guys playing at some points, but he's basically axed Nogueira from the rotation at points for the most part, and Norman Powell too. He doesn't play nearly as much, but aside from that, he basically has his bench established, his starters. It was a great call to put OG Anunoby as that small forward. He provides much needed defense, elite level defense as a rookie, which you can't say about many guys. This guy has such a bright future, and then you compliment him alongside guys like Lowry, DeRozan, Ibaka. They can score. And then JV, well, look, he's pretty inconsistent, but at least recently, his permanent numbers are staggering, especially against the Cavaliers. This guy was 15-18. 15 points, 18 rebounds in under 20 minutes of action. So if he can put together those sort of performances, especially in the postseason, to complement the rest of the guys, the league's in trouble. They can't be taken lightly is what I'm saying.
The LeBron era is in question again with him in Cleveland. No one really knows where he's going to be when he hits free agency. Is he going to stay in Cleveland? Is he going to go elsewhere? It seems like Boston's a team that has a lot of future assets coming up. And they have, do they not? They stack power draft picks.
They have a lot of draft
good
picks.
Young talent coming up. Tatum, he's been looking really good.
Yeah. He's been excellent. He's a rookie of the year candidate for sure.
So it looks like Boston's a team, as good as they are, they have Irving right now, a superstar currently, and they have a good team. They're currently first in the East. They're still forecasting for the future and kind of preparing to be a dominant team after the LeBron era in Cleveland. Can Toronto be that team as well with the future players they have? OG Anunoby's a guy that's getting a lot of love through the city. Do you think, we were talking about the three-year window they have with the contracts with Lowry, Ibaka, and they still have DeRozan locked down for a long time.
Yep.
Do you think after this 3 years, wherever LeBron is or however competitive the Eastern Conference is, the Raptors have built a good foundation to forecast for 3 years down the road to be competitors?
I think they do. And the reason being, I mean, you see what they've done. Masai Ujiri's done an excellent job of juggling being a contending team, but at the same time developing the youth and the foundation of what the future will bring. And that's a large part Jerry Stackhouse and the work the 905, the Raptors 905 has been doing has been tremendous. And you see a bunch of those guys coming to the team, like Fred VanVleet, Pascal. I know Bruno's a bit, he's not quite there yet. I don't know if he ever will be. But at the same time, there's a bunch of these guys that have come over from that team and really just fit in seamlessly with the big parent club. And it's just been tremendous to see. And then you mentioned a guy like OG Anunoby. Call me crazy. I don't think he's quite a Kawhi Leonard, but if I'm not mistaken, Kawhi Leonard didn't have much of an offensive game when he came into the league. He didn't, but he was an elite defender right off the bat, and over time he started to learn how to shoot and really become a dynamic offensive player. Whether he reaches that ceiling remains to be seen, but this guy has so much potential, especially considering that he came back from his injury, and there's rumblings that he's not even fully back to being 100% healthy. And the fact that he's putting out numbers like this, I know he doesn't really fill the box score in terms of his offensive numbers, but it doesn't matter. He's one of those guys that does the little things that don't show up, but they help your team win. So he's a great building block for the future. DeMar DeRozan, obviously, I'd say he's untouchable from other teams. He's not going anywhere. And Kyle Lowry, too, as long as he's healthy. And the thing about LeBron James is he's 33 now, and his window's closing. No one can beat father time. You see it in the NFL, for example, Tom Brady. This guy wants to play till 45, but is he going to? Hell no.
No. Look at Yager's drop off.
Exactly. Father time is undefeated for a reason. LeBron, without a doubt, he still has a few years of dominance. He's a physical specimen.
That's what I was going to say. He's a physical specimen. You're talking about OG Anunoby. He oozes physicality.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what makes you a difference maker. Russell Westbrook won the MVP last year by being an absolute monument of physical perfection.
Oh, yeah. And durable, too. You can say the same about LeBron.
Exactly. When you're talking about OG coming back from his injuries, I think that's the biggest thing in any sport now. It's your physicality and your durability and your stamina.
Yeah.
And I think you can build from there. Obviously, you can get in better shape. You can't teach skill.
Mm-hmm.
But in the professional leagues, everybody's in good shape. Now it's about who can differentiate themselves and stand out even from that point.
Right.
Physically.
Right.
So, definitely exciting stuff for the Raptors. So, big game tonight, Golden State Warriors. Do you see them winning, or what are you thinking? I'm not very optimistic.
I don't know.
But I wasn't optimistic about Cleveland either.
Oh, man. I mean, look, they're confident. They're clearly confident. I don't know if they can win against Golden State without Kyle Lowry. I know they did against Cleveland, but again, Cleveland doesn't have the greatest of defenses. Golden State does. And when you're going up against a team that is, for the most part, healthy, Curry might not play, right? He's questionable.
He's questionable.
I believe,
he and Lowry are questionable.
Yeah, so even so, though, Golden State is such a juggernaut that you plug in Kevin Durant, who's an MVP candidate in his own right, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, and then all their tremendous role players. I mean, it's going to be tough to, if they can win back-to-back games against Cleveland and then Golden State, that would be the most impressive feat of the season so far, but without a doubt. Whether they do it or not, we'll have to watch and see.
It's going to be exciting to watch. Currently, I just look at the names and the star power, and as good as DeMar DeRozan is, I would take Kevin Durant over DeRozan all day.
Oh my
I would
God,
take
yeah.
Steph Curry over DeRozan all day. I would take Klay Thompson. Draymond Green, I mean.
See, that would be an interesting debate, taking Klay Thompson over DeMar DeRozan.
I don't know.
I think Klay Thompson, he can get his own shot a little bit, but not as effectively as DeRozan. But at the same time, Thompson's won, though.
He's won.
Yeah, but that's also because he was a part of a well-oiled machine in Golden State, you know?
Chris Kunitz has four Stanley Cups, man. You know what I'm saying?
Like, I know, but Klay Thompson gets a lot of his shots because of the other guys on that team, right? Whether you could plot him in and put him in DeRozan's shoes, I don't know.
I get it. Right, I get now, what you're if saying. I'm the Raptors, he's I keep not, DeRozan. He's not a main piece. And he's kind of in, he's not exactly in the spotlight the same way Durant
he could
and Curry.
Be, though. It's just we haven't seen it, obviously, because of the talent on that team.
But, like, I still think he's the kind of guy who's still in the massive spotlight because he's Golden State. He plays for Golden State. You know, he's there's way more media over there instead of Toronto. I think, you know, as much as DeMar is the headliner in Toronto and he's their main guy and their top player, I still think Klay Thompson faces just as much scrutiny as DeMar does for the team he plays on. And, hey, the guy's got two championships.
That honestly, we could have a whole roundtable about comparing DeRozan and Thompson. That would be actually interesting because both off they have their positives and their negatives. Thompson is one of the best shooters in the NBA. And then DeRozan just he can create a shot at any time, draw fouls effectively.
He's also fallen off in the playoffs.
But then Thompson's a better perimeter defender, so they both have their positives and negatives. That would actually be a very interesting.
But DeRozan's
debate.
Disappeared in the playoffs before. So is Lowry.
And Thompson
both,
has not.
Both have disappeared in the
playoffs. Yeah, he
steps up. And we just talked about how all that matters in the NBA is how is what you're doing now going to translate into the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And Golden State, we know exactly what they bring to the playoffs, and they bring wins.
Oh, yeah.
Championship wins.
Probably. I mean, if I was a betting man, I'd bet Golden State tonight for another win. They're unstoppable. This cruise control, and they're still dominant.
So if you got plenty of money to play around with in the bank, the odds are probably, not probably, 100% in Golden State's favor. Drop some money on the Raps, man. I dropped money on McGregor at the Mayweather fight, because if McGregor won,
that would have been a big payday. Yeah.
Didn't work out.
Yeah.
But same idea. Going to be fun to watch. I'm definitely going to tune in. You're going to tune in?
Oh, yeah, for sure. This is a must-watch game. 10 out of 10 on the watchability rankings.
For sure.
Check those out on Homestand Sports.
Until next time, we'll get back to you guys with Hoop Talks with TK and Weiner. Talk to you guys later.